Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Brosk. The Fort Knox Gold Mine celebrated a major expansion project yesterday with a ceremonial groundbreaking event.
One, two, three. Very nice.
Federal, state, and mine owner Kinross officials turned dirt with gold-plated shovels to symbolically start what Kinross president and CEO Paul Rawlinson describes as a substantial project at the open pit mine north of Fairbanks.
A $570 million investment by Kinross in Fort Knox over the next several years.
Fort Knox has already operated for 20 years, producing 7 million ounces of gold and employing over 600 people. Rawlinson says the expansion, known as the Gilmore Project, is expected to extend the mine's life to 2030 and possibly longer.
We're going to keep exploring, and I personally believe this is the first phase of many phases of expansion, and we're going to be here long beyond this next phase.
This today is a great day for Alaska, and it's a great day for an industry which made Alaska, will continue to make Alaska, and will be the future of Alaska.
Congressman Don Young joined Governor Bill Walker in noting the value of resource development to Alaska's economy. Walker highlighted local employment, something he says has been evident talking with Fort Knox employees.
They would sometimes point at lights over from here. See that light over there? That's my house. And I just love that. I just thought that was, that's what, I think that was intended when it said in the Constitution that we develop our resources for the maximum benefit of Alaskans. It means jobs.
The Fort Knox expansion is expected to produce an additional 1.5 million ounces of gold and $26 million in mining taxes for the state. The mine is expanding onto a 700-acre parcel transferred last year from the federal government to the state, where Kinross has claims. Fort Knox includes State Mental Health Trust Authority acreage, which Department of Natural Resources, Mining, Land, and Water Director Brent Goodrum says helps fund the trust.
Over $24 million in revenue from the Fort Knox mine has assisted the trust in improving the lives of its beneficiaries.
Goodrum says the Gilmore expansion ensures that will continue. Fort Knox General Manager Eric Hill says exploration and permitting are complete, and the first of two phases of the expansion will begin in 2020.
It will take a few years to reach the development ore, and then at that point we'll start the second phase in about 2023, and that'll extend us out through the year of 2027 for mining.
Hill says ore blasted from the ground will be hauled and stockpiled in a new heap leach facility for chemical extraction of the gold, a process that will take until 2030 to complete. There's a new location for a long-in-the-works Interior Alaska Veterans Cemetery. Officials gathered at the site on a hillside near Fairbanks yesterday. KUEC's Robin reports.
The site is not much more than a nice driveway right now, but it will have a beautiful view of the Tanana River Valley and a glimpse of Denali in the southeast.
The site is far from commercial or industrial development, is peaceful and secluded, yet located only 20 minutes from Fairbanks.
Megan James is executive director of the Alaska Forget-Me-Not Coalition, one of the many agencies that worked on getting a dedicated veterans cemetery here. The site is 11 road miles west of Fairbanks. It's about 100 acres on an old quarry at milepost 344 on the park's highway, just down the street from the monument overlook. There is nothing to stop a deceased veteran from being buried or interred in Interior Alaska, but it would be in a civilian cemetery, without the honors representing military service. The closest veteran cemetery is at Fort Richardson near Anchorage. The next closest is in Sitka. Representative David Guttenberg of Fairbanks told a story of one of dozens of constituents and friends who asked him to work on a local internment place.
In about 2003, somewhere in there, Joyce Rothler, she came up to me and she said, Rick wanted to be buried here, her husband, and he couldn't be. And we had to ship him outside to a national cemetery and it's like, you need to do something about that.
Guttenberg didn't think it would take this long. The Federal Veterans Administration is no longer dedicating cemeteries, but it does have a state grant program that would fund construction if conditions were right. Advocates found, then rejected, a 40-acre parcel off Goldmine Trail near the Steese Highway because of permafrost. Then, in 2014, the state's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs bought a parcel of land in the Goldstream Valley outside of Fox, but could not get any more state funding to build a road, a requirement before asking for the federal VA grant.
once we get that federal funding, we're ready to go, waiting for grants.
Jeff Slakew of the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs says federal money can build the cemetery. Then it will be up to his department to operate it for Alaska veterans.
We got to get this place built first, and so we are working on the funding aspect of it. Over the years, we've been slowly developing what's called the Veterans Information System to kind of get our own accurate feeling of how many veterans we have here in the state.
Slakew says with an understanding of where the veterans are and what their needs are, the state can better serve them. He says the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is ready to answer any questions about the new cemetery. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Statehouse District 1 Republican race is the only contested Fairbanks area primary contest, as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports it features two very different candidates.
Bart LeBond's campaign is based on a set of fairly typical conservative Republican issues that include deregulation and increased development of Alaska's resources.
Oil, gas, timber, whatever it might be. One of my responsibilities, if elected, would be take a look at the regulatory environment for these industries that are producing our wealth and make sure that is fair.
But the 66-year-old retired banker says his top priority would be to help put together a fiscal plan for the state that would encourage more oil and gas production while diversifying Alaska's economy to lessen its reliance on the industry. LeBond says the plan should eliminate the annual ritual of extending legislative sessions long enough to allow lawmakers to pass capital and operating budget.
Our fiscal plan is non-existent, and our business model is broken.
LeBond's opponent, Wolfgang Falk, also has a few ideas on how to get lawmakers to finish the job in a 90-day session. They include not paying legislators, except for expenses incurred during the regular session.
And you're not going to get paid any salary or any pension plan or anything. You're not supposed to get paid a nickel. Go down there, do your business, and come back and do your job.
Falk also proposes a harsh remedy for what he says are hordes of people coming to Alaska to live off food stamps and collect permanent fund dividends. He says he'd tax them heavily.
They bring the kids and their families up here, and they produce really nothing.
It's hard to say where in the Republican political spectrum the 80-year-old retired truck driver and German immigrant would fall. Falk talks a lot about protecting Alaskan sovereignty from threats like socialized health care, which he says is a communist plot. He says he'd fight President Trump's federal overreach into the state's authority to manage elections and enforce laws.
He likes to control elections on a national level, and he likes to establish a national police force under the mask of homeland security.
LeBond says the sound fiscal plan that he promotes would help fund state government through a percent of market value approach to using the permanent fund's earning reserve. He says he'd enhance the state's mining and military economic sectors and look for more budget cuts, except, says the former school board member, in education funding, especially for the universities.
I think we've probably cut as much as is reasonable over the last several years. The university budget has been trimmed back.
On the other side of the ledger, LeBond says if elected, he'd rather generate more revenue by diversifying and enhancing the state's resource extractive industries than consider any sort of statewide income or sales tax. But he says if lawmakers did enact such a tax, it must be levied fairly.
It should touch everybody in some manner, so that it's a true broad-based tax.
Democratic House District 1 candidate Catherine Dodge will face the winner of Tuesday's Republican primary in the November 6th general election. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.